We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
On the Tar Heel Sports Network from Learfield, this is Holding Court with Courtney Banghart. Presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. Here's your host, Matt Krause.
And we say hello on this Monday, January the 23rd edition of Holding Courts with Courtney Banghart, live on location from the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Our friends have gathered here inside the Sheraton Club alongside the head coach, Courtney Banghart. My name is Matt Krause. Coach, sweep week. Again,
yeah. Boom.
Two home games, two wins for the Tar Heels. That's reason to celebrate,
that
right?
Sure is, man. We'll take it.
Two home games and another special week filled with incredible atmospheres inside Carmichael Arena. I feel like that's the appropriate place to start, isn't it?
It sure is. How fun has Carmichael become? It's been, wow. You know, it's really, we had asked it to be our sixth man this year, and it has. It's only further motivating us to try to host because we know what a special environment that would be, but one of the highlights of my time since I've been here was walking out of the locker room, and the first thing we see are, you know, the student section for the Duke game, and it was all the way to the top. And then they were doing their starting lineups, and they were yelling Tar, and y'all were yelling Heels, so we couldn't even hear who was starting, which is awesome. We'd prefer that. So it was such a great environment, and I thought yesterday, given the football playoffs and just four home games for men's and women's basketball, I thought it would be less, and it was just another great crowd. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, it's four straight home crowds, over 3,900 fans, so a huge testament to Carolina fans. Students filling the student section on Thursday against Duke, the largest student section crowd in Carolina women's basketball history.
Yay.
Coach alluded to it there. The desire to host. If you're new to the women's basketball train, welcome aboard, especially for folks out there in radio and podcast land. The way that the women's tournament works, the top 16 teams, the top four seeds in each region, get to play the first two games of the tournament at home. So that is something Carolina is chasing as we go down the stretch year. That win against Duke, 61-56, the final score. One of those up-and-down games. You started really fast. Here comes Duke to level the game at halftime, and then you pull away, even though the Blue Devils would hang around down the stretch. How did your team weather the ebbs and flows of that game to have success?
You know, we had to make it interesting. You guys had all these good fans here. So when we were up by, I don't know, 10 or so, you're better at that than I in the first quarter, we thought we didn't want you guys to leave. So we just had to keep it interesting, and we did that.
Yeah, it was a 10-0 lead late in that first quarter. Held Duke scoreless for over 7 minutes to start out this game. And then yesterday against Georgia Tech, 70-57, the victory over the Yellow Jackets. Sixth straight home win over Georgia Tech. That's the second longest streak among ACC opponents. 14 straight home wins against Virginia, who happens to be the next home opponent at Carmichael. And that was a game in which the offensive success from the second half against Duke really carried forward into half number one against Georgia Tech. Your best first half shooting the ball in ACC play this season. What enabled that success right from the get-go against the Jackets?
I think the maturation of our offense. You know, we've it takes some time to figure out how to play fluidly with one another and collectively. And it's this group, it's taken a little bit longer than all of us would prefer. But we've just been able to break it down and part whole kind of and continue to find out how our group can be most successful together with their spacing. And our offense has just continued to look better and better. So hopefully it's just the maturation that continues moving forward.
8 for 18 from three yesterday, including 6 for 9 in the first half. Was that the game plan going in to be more on the hunt for looks from long range rather than try and drive it inside?
No, we've been taking threes. We just haven't been making them. So the game plan is to take to work together to get great shots. I thought we did that. I thought we got better shots in rhythm, more openings. You know, the ball moved. It wasn't here. It was here, you know, in terms of where it needed to be. So our assist passing is better. The pace of our cuts is opening up other teammates. But no, I think we shot about as many threes as we always do. We just, I'm a better offensive coach when they go in the basket.
Look like you know what you're doing when they go in the basket.
And they look like they know what they're doing, too, while we're at it.
And it was a game against Georgia Tech in which you're able to build the lead. It continued to grow through the second half. And so that concept of making it interesting that you joked about, not so much a factor yesterday. I imagine that's definitely nice for you and your team to have a game like that at home where the outcome feels comfortable headed down the stretch, isn't it?
Yeah, we feel like you guys will stay now. We don't have to earn our fans much more. So we're going to now take care of opponents the way that we need to and worry less about you guys sitting in your seats.
A couple of individual performances to hit on here. Deja Kelly twice yesterday against the Jackets had situations late in a quarter where the ball's in her hands to take the final shot, first and second quarter. First quarter, pull-up long jumper from just inside the arc, knocks it in, and then the three-pointer at the end of the first half. And that's been a trend through her career, ball in her hands in late-clock situations at the end of quarters. Why is she so effective in that circumstance?
She's just a gamer. You know, I probably put her we give her that opportunity because she just keeps finding a way to make that happen. She's a very tough matchup in 1v1, and if you can throw some friction at the ball, she's even harder to guard. So I know you guys are – I'm keeping the suspense away because you guys know with 7 seconds left where the ball's going to go, but it's worked out well for us.
How important was it for her to see the ball go through the net as she shot it consistently from three? Is that aspect of her game has kind of taken a back seat to the mid-range jumper throughout this season?
Yeah, you know, I'm really proud of Deja. I feel like she's been able to really impact our team in a positive way without shooting it as well as we all would like. And she has stayed committed and stayed the course and stayed trusting. And it hasn't limited her shot attempts, which I think says a lot. So I'm just happy for her when it goes in. I know she's the whole team was celebrating her and just glad to see the ball go in the basket.
And then Alyssa Usby, speaking of a player that you can be proud of, a little bit under the weather this week, but still over the course of the two games, 15 for 21 from the floor, 33 points, especially when she's battling just the human element of being sick in the month of January. How proud are you of her effort?
Yeah, you guys, so I get a text right before the morning of the Duke game from our trainer, which you never want. It's like the first thing you search is for your trainer on game day. And she said, all right, I got some bad news. Alyssa's not feeling great. It's COVID negative, strep negative, but she's currently under an IV. And I was like, oh, okay. And so she didn't shoot around that day. She just rested and recovered as best she could. And you guys saw what we got from her on game time. They told her, you know, I'm not sure how much any minutes you'll be able to get. She'll be able to give you. To which I said, I don't really care. She'll go in the game, and she won't come out. That's how we do things with Alyssa Usby. So she was limited again on Friday to recover from kind of an energy depletion. But the kid's a warrior, and the better she is, the better we are.
She helped lead the Tar Heels to two home wins this week against Duke and Georgia Tech, and Carolina riding a 5-game win streak in ACC play for the first time under Coach Banghart. We're talking Carolina women's basketball on her show. It's Holding Court with Courtney Banghart, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. They resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to help empower our future leaders. We'll take our first time out, come on back with a whole host of listener questions. It's after this from Learfield. We welcome you back to Holding Courts with the head coach of the Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart. I'm Matt Krause. And Coach, the next two segments. We're opening up the mailbag. It is loaded up this week with listener questions.
They can't see on the radio. I just readjusted my seat so that I'm ready for this.
Yeah, you got to get comfy. And Chapel Thrill on Twitter is up first with a pair of questions. First up, they ask that Ali Zelaya has had her number called a lot during this five-game win streak. In the middle of the third quarter, early fourth quarter, they noticed, and even taking a page out of my book here, providing some numbers. 35 minutes, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 2 points, and 0 turnovers during that streak. Can you discuss what she brings to the table, how she's progressed, and why she's important at that point of the game?
Love her length. I mean, Z's got great length. She's a kid you trust because she does what you tell her to do. She knows the scout. She knows how we want to defend in the low post. She knows tendencies, everything else. She's a scoring threat. She moves the ball well on the offensive end. She can space you out a little bit. At that point in the game, Anya's gotten a little bit more tired and all that. It's been someone I trust, and she's just done a great job for us. And, she's a kid easy to root for, as you guys do so generously. So, yeah, good for her.
Chapel Thrill's next question. Winning in the ACC is hard. Mm. Fact. Every team is/can be dangerous. Also a fact. Mm. How do you keep that same locked-in mentality each night, regardless of the opponent and the win-loss record next to their name?
You know, luckily, I think you do that in the recruiting process, right? If you recruit kids that you have to that are front runners, you're not going to be in the front very much. We didn't really have to address it with them. We also started, you guys might remember, we kind of gave a few games away. So we've already kind of started up. We've kind of lost a few of those. We're done with that part of our process. So we don't have the luxury of now dropping one along the way. And so they know that. And they're also just trying to get better. They really want to host. They really want to continue to get into the NCAA tournament and the ACC tournament and all that. So, you know, I really think if you have the day I have to look at Alyssa or Deja or Toddy or Z or any of them and have to say, we need this one, then I've got to check my recruiting.
Barbara Fetter is a first-time question asker, and Barbara says, in the state game, Debbie Antonelli, who was doing the color analysis for ESPN, said you were showing some new offensive sets in the fourth quarter. Was she right, and is that something that you do in every game?
Oh, yeah, we'll have new looks that haven't been scouted every game, you know, that are used throughout. You know, we sometimes make people defend the way they don't want to defend, so we don't expect them to switch, or we don't expect them to high hedge, or we don't expect... I carry that little laminated piece of paper, and that's new every game based on what I'm seeing and what we can go to for certain guys at certain points. So that's what we call chess. The coach gets to play a little chess while they're out there running around playing hoops.
Now, you say that you play hoop, I play chess. You say that a lot on our pregame chats in the Continental Tire Coaches Corner. Okay, Barbara, one of multiple people to ask a very popular question with what you're allowed to say.
Okay.
What's the current status of Kayla McPherson and Ariel Young?
Oh, God. I'm looking here over. I'm scared to look at our SID, our sports information director, because I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say, you know, with the HIPAA laws and whatnot. But she will speak soon. Yeah. As soon as we have information that's released to the public, we will share it. Kayla's back to winning the sprints on our team, so she's getting better and better. You know, but we don't have anything official from the doctors. We assume things will be soon.
And there's your update. By the way, you consulted with Dana Galin, the athletics communications professional for the Carolina women's basketball team. This week is College Athletics Communicators Appreciation Week. So everybody, let's have a round of applause for Dana while we're here.
She's the best. I act like I'm always available, and then I'm never really available. So she deals with me in a very patient and direct way. I appreciate you, Dana.
Onward to our questions. Son of Odell is next, and seated next to Dana in the back of the room is your director of operations, Jessica Carrington. Son of Odell asks, I've noticed that Jessica shows the players something on a clipboard as they leave the huddle after timeouts.
Secrets.
Can you share what that is, or is it a trade secret?
No, it's, you know, Jess is responsible for making sure that our kids know their matchup when they're on the floor. So who's in the, you know, she's articulating who's on the court, which five are in going into the out of the timeout, and who they're guarding. And so she's not making that as a basketball decision. Somebody else is making that decision. She's just holding the clipboard, which is a very important job.
She's just relaying the message.
She's relaying the matchup message of, because, you know, their lineups are changing and ours are changing throughout media timeouts, so they need to know who they're guarding, regardless of what the scheme is.
One more question before we go to break here. All Things Hoops on Twitter asks, will we ever get to see any throwback or retro uniforms from your team inspired by the men's throwback uniforms that they wore on Saturday against NC State?
I can tell you our kids would be thrilled. It's what they want. So the issue is you're allowed to wear a throw-off uniform, I think at Carolina, a certain percentage of your games. Right, but we do our Pink Zone game, which is in recognition and support and awareness to breast cancer awareness, and that's both a home and an away jersey. So thrown in the pink and thrown in the white with pink outline, I think that gets you to your max. And so, yes, the answer is yes. I've just got to figure out how to either slip it in and beg for forgiveness later or how to make one pink uniform that happens to maybe very light that happens to go both home and away.
Intriguing. There you go. All Things Hoops with a really interesting question there. Still more listener questions to get to when we continue on Holding Court, but for now we'll take a timeout. Coming back with the head coach after this from Learfield. We are back on Holding Court with the head coach of the Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart. My name is Matt Krause. Carolina heading out on the road for four of the next five. It's a seesaw effect of playing three straight at home in ACC play for the first time in program history. You get four of the next five on the road, including, I look this one up too, it's the first time since 2013 that Carolina will have a Thursday-Sunday set of games that are both flight trips to two separate destinations, almost awesome. Always because of the fact that Wake Forest, Duke, and NC State are so close by. If you play the double road games, frequently one of them is a pseudo-local road game, but first time since 2013 that Carolina will head to two separate flight destinations this week. It's Pittsburgh on Thursday, 6 o'clock tip for that one, 5:30 pregame. Sunday, a trip to the upstate of South Carolina to see Clemson, 4 o'clock tip for that one, a 3:30 broadcast time on the Tar Heel Sports Network. We'll talk about those couple of games coming up. And while we're on the future schedule, just an update, Coach is traveling for recruiting the next couple of Mondays, so we will have recorded shows with some bonus content, some special interviews coming your way. We'll be right back here at the Sheraton on February the 13th for a run of shows to conclude the regular season, so make a note of that. Back to our listener questions. Dennis Goss, who sends in questions frequently, he chimes in with a couple. Up first, he asks, are you aware of what the student section's been doing with their curtain of distraction
so awesome.
In the front row?
When am I going to be able to be a part of the curtain of distraction? I mean, come on, that is awesome.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar, it's the students in the front row, and they've got this, it's like a pipe and drape setup, similar if you're with us here in the Sheraton to what's going on behind me. And it's a black curtain. They pull it open to try and distract opposing free throw shooters.
It's hilarious. It distracts me. And it clearly distracts our defensive rebounders because we keep giving up the rebound, which is a whole different story. Partly because I learned about this crumble thing. I didn't know about that. Where if you miss, the opponent misses two straight free throws. I know I'm the last one on this train, but if then they get a crumble. So I didn't realize that until the Duke game when they missed the free throw and the whole world like erupted. I was like, what is the problem? And then that I was told. And then we give up the rebound twice. So I think we need to change the crumble challenge, miss two free throws, and we have to secure the defensive rebound.
Okay. Well, you know, crumble is giving away cookies left and right because it happened in the Georgia Tech game yesterday as well, where a Yellow Jacket missed two straight free throws in the second half. And again,
they got the rebound too, just so you're clear.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, if you come to a game now at Carmichael Arena and the opponent misses two straight free throws in the second half, take your game ticket to Crumble Cookies, get yourself a free cookie, back-to-back games in which that promotion has been activated. Another question from Dennis, kind of an interesting one. What is the first stat that you look at when you're handed a stat sheet at the end of a quarter or at a media timeout?
Totally depends on the game. Totally depends. So sometimes it's I'm looking at their offensive rebounds. Sometimes I'm looking at our turnovers. Sometimes I'm looking at free throw attempts, like when the other team has 17 and we have zero, things like that. So totally depends on the game. And I know that I need it. It's like it's what I can synthesize quickly. So it depends on the game.
John Howes is next. Who on the current team would you say that your college game when you were a player is most like?
Oh, that's a great question. These guys are longer, more athletic. I shot it a little better than them. So maybe that's what we need. We need someone who played a little like me. I was a little bit, probably not surprising to anyone here, I was a little bit of a showboat. I just loved hoop, and it showed. So maybe a little bit of Deja in me in terms of how I tried to interact with the crowd. But I wasn't as kind of universally skilled as some of these guys, but I did shoot the ball well, so we'll go with that.
You had a big Dartmouth supporting section at the Georgia Tech game. Who were some of those folks?
Yeah, so I got an email or text or whatever, how these guys communicate, that I was only an assistant at Dartmouth for 4 years, and basically the teams that I coached all came back, all these different players, which they're like grown adults like me now, because I was 22 when I was their assistant. But so many of them came back, which was amazing. And we had recruits on campus, so I didn't get to spend as much time with them as I like. But they got to see our locker room and our offices and kind of the world that I live in. And they were like, wow, it's a little different than how we played. It was really special to have them back. It was a long time ago. And they all said, Court, you're doing exactly what we thought you'd be doing. We thought you'd be coaching basketball still. I said, yeah, I'm still doing that.
Coaching basketball and winning, yep. We may add. Five straight in ACC play. Speaking of comparisons, Katie Agris, hope I'm pronouncing that right, sent this one in last week. She wanted to know some WNBA comparisons for current players.
Yeah.
You know, you compare some of your players to folks that played in the NBA back in the 90s, and talking about how Kennedy Todd Williams is like this team's Scottie Pippen. Mm-hmm. And Katie says, for example, she thinks Destiny Adams has some De'Erica Hamby vibes in her. So any comparisons that come to mind for you with your current roster?
I think De'Erica Hamby's a good one. I think Natasha Howard is, Alyssa's a little bit different with her kind of offensive skill set, but she's got the relentlessness and sort of high impact game like a Natasha Howard. Deja's got a little bit of the Skylar Diggins in her. You know, she's a fierce leader and a scorer from the lead guard spot. Toddy does a lot of mix. You know, it depends on if you're looking for the length and defense. Are you looking for kind of the three-level scorer? Are you looking, you know, for a lot of different things? You know, you've got a lot of point guard play in Kayla McPherson soon and Tiani. And I mean, there's just so many of them. So, you know, it's as they continue to mature, they'll either become their own chapter or they'll become more like some current players, and we're still kind of figuring that out.
Terrific questions in the mailbag this week. And a reminder, you can always tweet me questions. It's at Matt Krause, PXP. That's KRAUSEPXP on the end. And we'll get them to Coach on future editions of Holding Court. Our show is presented, as always, by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. They are supporting women's athletics to empower our future leaders as they resolve to be a champion for women everywhere. One last time out, then we'll come on back and take a look ahead to the week that will be for the Tar Heels. Couple of road games on the docket. We'll preview Pitt and Clemson after this from Learfield. Our final segment on this week's edition of Holding Court with Courtney Banghart, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield. The Tar Heels headed to the Steel City on Thursday night for a 6 o'clock tip against the Pitt Panthers. We'll be on the air at 5:30 with the Reeds Jewelers pregame show. Pitt winless in the ACC, but obviously, as we talked about earlier in the show, every single team in this conference, especially when they're playing at home, can challenge you. So it's early in the week, but what's important to prepare for against Lance White's Pitt Panthers?
Yeah, they're going to be really hungry. They're clawing and scratching right now. They had they played Virginia Tech last, very close at their place, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to zone a ton. So they're going to try to control the tempo of the game that way, not pressing as much as they have in the past. But a lot of zone and really good on the glass, which, as we know, we're still progressing to. So they're playing at home and they're starving, and we know that. So they've been a tough opponent for us every year we've played them.
How important is shot making at a rate like you did in the second half against Duke in the Georgia Tech game against a team that's going to zone you like that?
I mean, shot making is always critical, you know. So if we aren't able to shoot well, we're going to have to generate turnovers so that we can play against a non-set defense. So we'll have some opportunities to do that as well. Ball movement. It's not as much shot making as it is ball movement to getting great shots, right? And so whether that's inside, outside, and mixing both the width and the depth of the court is really important. And we've got 2 days to practice it, and we'll be ready.
Yeah, forcing turnovers is important, and you know, it's good to do in the Steel City.
I see what you did there.
I see what you did there. Yeah. And then Sunday, it's onward to Clemson to take on the Clemson Tigers at Little John Coliseum. That's a 4 o'clock tip. We're on the air at 3:30 with the Reeds Jewelers pregame show. First off, I know you are really good friends away from basketball with their head coach, Amanda Butler. How special is that to compete against such a good friend?
It's awesome. And our kids are continuing, they're about the same age, continue to get older. So my kids are angling to get on that trip, but they've got their own games going on, so they probably will have to miss it. But Yeah, Amanda's doing a great job at Clemson. They should have gotten they just lost to Notre Dame by three. They should have gotten it, and they've obviously had other very good results. So she's doing a great job. They're physical. They're big. They're really active defensively. Like, yikes, all over the place. And so that will be a formidable challenge. We know that.
What are the challenges in playing the back-to-back road games like you have this week?
I think I'm packaging them a little bit together. The teams have some similarities, which is helpful. You know, I sometimes think the travel is harder on the coaches than it is the kids. But the big thing is you guys have made Carmichael really special. And so it's certainly going to be part of what we talk about, is that it's not going to be Carmichael, you know, because not only will we not have all your all's vocal support, but they have less support. Right. And so it's a very different environment on the road for these particular opponents than there maybe would be for some of the others coming down the line. But yeah, it's a part of it. Playing on the road is certainly a part of it. The double road trip, you know, you don't play till Sunday, so you're home late on Thursday night. So that limits a little bit what you can do Friday, but you have Saturday. And then we'll they're kind of short flights. So I think it's more the fact that who we're playing and that you're playing on the road, not so much that they're together.
And it's kind of wonky in that the years where Carolina goes to Pitt and Clemson, this is the third straight time, 2019, 2021, and now 2023, that those two games are back-to-back. They've been Sunday-Thursday the last time, but Thursday-Sunday this week. So
wow.
Just a strange little scheduling quirk for that.
And strange that you know that. Like, the things that you know, right? Like, can we just call that out?
I mean, yeah, I'm a nerd, you know that.
Yeah, no, I do. I appreciate that.
Okay, very good. Well, that'll do it for another edition of Holding Court with Courtney Banghart. Coach, thanks as always for the time. Safe travels on the recruiting trips the next couple of Mondays. We look forward to being back here at the Sheraton on February 13th.
That sounds great. I appreciate all you do, Matt, and go Heels.
It's the head coach of the Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart, on her show, Holding Court, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. We'll talk to you on Thursday for Carolina and Pitt, 6 o'clock tip, 5:30 broadcast time, right here on the Tar Heels Sports Network from Learfields.
Holding Court with Courtney Banghart has been presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heels Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.